So I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to speak to you once again. Actually, when I came here 1 week ago on Sunday, some of you may know I'm just here because by the mercy of my daughter and my son-in-law who invited me to come on this trip to have a vacation for the first time since 13 years. And I knew in coming to India and visiting the holy places, holy dhams, Mayapur, Vrindavan, and also in Bombay, would certainly be a spiritual inspiration for me besides being a vacation. But I honestly didn't expect that I would have such a wonderful opportunity to share some of my own experience in Krishna consciousness and some thoughts and some whatever little realization I have with so many wonderful devotees. This has been a very inspiring week for me. I've been telling several devotees I haven't felt this spiritually enlivened since years just by being in your association, and for this I want to thank you. So yeah, I've given this one class on relating my experiences with selling Bhagavatam sets, for which we had started this program originally in America, making this encyclopedia sales, then taking it to Singapore. Actually, it was also done, by the way, in Australia very successfully. It developed independently, and there was a group of devotees there who started a similar program, very successful. We actually shared during that time also our experiences. We also got some presentation material from the Australian devotees, which were very helpful. So the program has been successful in the past, and it can be successful now, and it can be successful in the future. And I think it is something which Srila Prabhupada would be very pleased with if it would happen everywhere. Because, like I was pointing out in that Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada had so much expectation and so much hope in the potency of the Srimad Bhagavatam to destroy the demoniac and materialistic life, especially in Western countries, and also prevent it from, let's say, destroying the Indian culture as the Western culture was destroyed by it. So, coming here to Bombay, I've seen this, I must say, on Friday night, Saturday night, seeing this temple room and actually the outside filled with young students, hundreds, maybe over 1,000, I don't know, and chanting and dancing with such ecstasy and such devotion, being the fruit of your preaching program, actually puts me completely ashamed. In one sense, there's really nothing, let's say, one must say, you might need to know, because you have such a successful preaching program already, which is really the best means of spreading Krishna consciousness. I think that emphasis that Radhanath Maharaj is giving, that first the person, the most important thing is the person, the connection, the relationship with the person as an individual, and reaching that person's heart. It is the most sublime way of spreading Krishna consciousness from heart to heart. And of course, if a person becomes convinced of Krishna consciousness by such preaching, naturally he will want to read the books, naturally he will read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. That is the natural consequence. So that is the most effective, the most powerful preaching program, and you are demonstrating this here in this temple. Nevertheless, there is also another approach which can go on side by side, or in synergy, which is to distribute these sets of Bhagavatams. I give you two examples. Like I was just saying before, the effect of your preaching program is, and it is so successful because it is so systematically carried on. It is not simply a haphazard, oh, let's go this place today, or maybe next week we will try something there, and then we forget about it for the next 2 years, and then maybe 3 years later we show up again. No, that's it. The reason why you have such tremendous success in your college preaching is because you have a very thought-out, thoughtful system that you apply this great intelligence, strategy. Just like in war, you might have a big army, but if you have no strategy, you will lose. Sometimes big armies have been conquered or defeated by small numbers of men. Just like, for example, the best example is there was a big battle about 900 years ago in Switzerland. Switzerland was being invaded by this Austrian army with about 50,000 men. And not only men, but those were knights in heavy armor and weaponry and horses and everything. And those Swiss people got together. Those were not, they had no army. But they had some very intelligent leaders who devised a strategy and a means how to counteract this approach. So they only had 5,000 men, and they had no armor, they had no, training like a knight would have years and years and years after of skilled martial training. And these 5,000 men defeated this 50,000 knights. Why? Because they had a strategy. So this is an example how simply by sometimes, making an adjustment in the way one is doing a certain thing, it can be one can result in failure, and one gives it up and says, oh, it doesn't work. Or it can be the result in success and progress. And so the thing I wanted to point out is just like the result of your preaching will be that those who are convinced will read Prabhupada's books more or less from cover to cover. Somebody's really convinced, he will read Prabhupada's books, sincerely study them from cover to cover. But sometimes the opposite is also happening. That's book distributors all over the world can vouch for that. Sometimes it is just a book that somebody happens to get, sometimes by chance, sometimes through whatever means, that will make him a devotee. The one way is to make you practically convince him first, and then he will read the book. The other way around works too. Sometimes he will get a book, he will read it, and then become a devotee. The first example that I heard of like this was our GBC in Germany at the time, and yesterday I was relating some of those stories. I mentioned Hansa Duda's name. He was one of Prabhupada's leading disciples in the beginning days. He joined in 1967 in New York City. He had received an easy journey to other planets by a Sankirtan devotee. This was one of, I think, probably the first book that the devotees distributed in America after Prabhupada came. Because that book was also one of Prabhupada's. He wrote this 1959. By the way, did you know the story how this book was written? The background? Did you ever? Yes, Prabhupada was just like I was telling yesterday, the poverty of the German devotees. Prabhupada was very poor, living in Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. He had practically no money. And he was very frugal. He did not waste a penny. So in order to avoid spending money on paper, at that time the Russian government, they were very eager to win or to have India as an ally, or as India was a non-aligned state at that time. And they wanted to increase the influence of communism in India. So what they did is anybody who wanted to would get from the Russian embassy free magazines and free printing materials. So Prabhupada, not because he was interested in communism, but simply because he knew that was a source where he could get free magazines and paper, he worked there and he got the regular shipment of these Russian magazines. Then he would take those magazines and he would write his books between the printing lines. And so in one of these magazines from the Russian embassy, there was a story of the first Russian astronaut or spaceship going into space. So Prabhupada read this, you know, while he was writing in between the lines, he read the content and the headline. So that inspired him to write this book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. So in any case, this devotee, Hansa Duda, he received this book, Easy Journey to Other Planets, from a Sankirtan devotee or some devotee somehow. And he put it, he actually had no interest in it. He just, you know, just out of what an implied politeness or whatever, he took it, gave a donation. And he put it into his glove compartment. And he forgot about the book. And 1 year later, there was a big traffic jam, some kind of collapse of traffic in New York. The traffic practically came to a complete standstill for hours, 4, 5, 6 hours. So he was stuck in his car. He couldn't move forward and backwards. So he was getting very bored. So he was looking there, fiddling around in his car, probably looking for cigarettes or something in his glove compartment. And out of a sudden he saw that book that he had placed there a year before. So being bored, having nothing to do, he decided, let me read it. So he read it from cover to cover. After he finished reading it, the traffic jam had cleared up. He drove home. His wife was waiting at home, Mother Himawati. He told her, pack all our bags, we're moving into the temple. So that shows the potency of Srila Prabhupada's books the other way around. Another interesting story in that regard is, we have one devotee Mataji in Germany. She's about your age. The way she came to the temple is her mother, about 25 years ago, picked up a book from a Sankirtan devotee on the street, bought it, put it in a bookshelf, never read it. Her daughter grew up. 25 years later, she finds the book in the bookshelf and starts reading it and comes to the same conclusion. She moves into the temple. So you can see this is the potency that is in Srila Prabhupada's books. We can make devotees by preaching, but Srila Prabhupada's books also can make devotees. And of course, a book will, I mean, if it is not destroyed or burned or whatever, those BBT books are usually well printed. They can last 100 or 200 years or more. So during all their time of existence, that same effect can be duplicated and repeated. So it's a very effective way, in a sense, over a long period of time, to spread the message of Krishna and convert people's heart and enliven them with Krishna consciousness. So usually when we talk about book distribution, actually the word book distribution already indicates it. It's a particular term. You know, when you talk about distribution, it means you are basically giving something away. You distribute flyers, you distribute food to the poor, you distribute some different things. So it's basically something it's a very fast technique. Like if you go out for book distribution, one single book, you hand the person a book, maybe he takes it or maybe he doesn't take it, or maybe every 10th person or maybe every 100th person. It's a matter of numbers, so to say. Practically, statistically, you can probably, if you take it over a period of time, you can probably make it a statistic that every 1,000 or so person that you approached will take a book. So if you're, you know, maybe that's a little high or a low, whatever, but then you can figure if you approach that many people, you will on the average, you will distribute so many books. You offer it, he takes it, or he doesn't take it. And then you may ask a donation or you may not ask a donation, whatever. In Bhagavatam sales, this is not possible, because you're not talking about something yet that, you know, you're handing somebody a case of 30 volumes of books. First of all, you know, on the street, to carry that around would be very difficult. And also, for that, you wouldn't want to give that for free. It shouldn't be given for free. So there has to be some return. And the amount of money to be returned for that type of value, to do that on the street, would be impractical. So in other words, you have to devise a means, a technique, a strategy that will differ from your regular book distribution, single book distribution. It will be more complex. You will need some time for preparation. That time for preparation may take, like as we are starting now, like I said, when we went in America, I had to take a 3-month course in an encyclopedia company. That was time of preparation. Then we had to practically take that technique, that strategy, and rewrite it or readjust it to our particular need. That took another so and so many weeks. Here in India, again, it may be that which we have done may not necessarily be completely applicable. You will have to see according to your particular social, geographical situation, traffic, so many different factors, what will work best. But the most important factor that you have to understand is you have to be prepared for this approach, to devise a strategy or to devise a plan or, basically it boils down to a presentation. It has to be a thorough presentation. Let's say, I don't know how much these books cost here, 5,000 rupees for one set, one English set. So 5,000 rupees, you know, for some people, it is practically pocket money. For some people, it's a month's salary. So in any case, it is not, it's a substantial, in India, it is a substantial amount of money. And so for that, you have to have a presentation that will, so to say, match up to the value of this transaction. I tell you one experience, which actually, you might say, is the beginning. It was more or less the beginning of what later culminated in the Sankirtan, in the Bhagavatam set sales. But it dates from a time when we were doing single book distribution in Germany. Some time, I was telling yesterday, after we had received the first books and also collected enough money distributing our flyers and our cards that we could print our first books, we still had not a real thought out strategy. And I don't know, there are probably no Jehovah's Witnesses in India. In Germany and Europe and America, they're very, very prominent. They are Christian, a Christian group or denomination, and they are known. They have also basically spread their religion by book distribution. And by the principle that every member who is any Jehovah Witness is required to do a particular amount of preaching work every week. Children from a particular age, maybe 12 or 13, women, men, young and old, everyone has to go and do a particular amount of this missionary work. Some of them will go with books door to door, and some of them will be capable of, because of the intellectual capacity to explain their religions. Some of them who don't, maybe they are shy, or maybe they don't have the intellect to communicate verbally very well, they will just stand at the street corner and hold up a magazine and simply wait until somebody says, "Can I have one?" And they, I mean, it's actually very admirable, and they have been successful over the past 100 years. They have made very, very many converts simply by their determination, their focus on this Sankirtan process in the sense of book distribution. So basically, what I wanted to say, in the beginning, our Sankirtan was a similar, a little bit like that. We had some approach, but it was not very thought out. It was not very strategic. Then, I told you this story yesterday when we were driving in the van with the 16 people on top, and we got stopped by the police. Well, that was a very eventful journey, because we were traveling to the temple in Munich. The temple president at that time there was Bhakti Bhushana Swami. He had invited us. And we stayed there for the Gokonim for several days. And among the guests happened to be a professional salesman. And he had seen the devotees on the street. He had observed how they were offering their books. So he could, from his professional background, from his experience, he could tell if they would just do it in the it could become so much more successful. So he gave us the first lesson, actually, on how to, you might say, professionally present an item to the public. That originally, let's say, many items in this, as the companies produce items that either people do not want, or for which a market has to be created, and then presentation, promotion, advertisement, etc., creates that market, and then people are purchasing the products. So, in and from one point of view, a book is also a product. It may be a spiritual book with a lot of spiritual, eternal principles and teachings and realization, but from one point of view, it is a product that can be exchanged. So I give you, maybe it's interesting for you to note those five principles that he taught us at this time. These are applicable for every type of sale. Whether it is car sale, whether it is selling a condominium or an apartment, or whether it is selling I don't know, you name some other examples, or a set of books. It's applicable for every field of, for any product. The first thing is, the first of the five principles is you have to attract attention. You have to capture the attention. They have noticed that you are there and that you have something. Like, for example, if you have a very wonderful product and you have a very wonderful advertising agency, and they come up with the most wonderful slogan and graphic design, and it looks perfect, and then they make a billboard to put out on Bombay, what's the main road? Busiest road?
Marine Drive.
They put out the billboard in Marine Drive, but the billboard is only this big. Will it have any effect?
No.
Why?
It's not attractive.
No, it is attractive. It is very attractive. It doesn't catch the attention, it will not be noticed. So, first thing is you have to attract, you have to capture the attention. They have to notice that you are there, they have to notice that you have something. What is this? The attention has to go there. Then, this sometimes is within a split second. This goes very far. You can win and lose the attention within half a second. After that half a second, there has to be something else coming, which is, after you have captured the attention, if the second part, which I'm telling you now, is not coming, the attention will be worthless. The second part is you have to create an interest. That which has captured the attention, where their mind or their eyes or their ears or whatever has been focused on, it has to have a message which is of interest to them. That's why advertising agencies are paid millions of rupees or dollars to come up with some catchy slogans or some catchy graphic design, which the graphic design is best then, when the graphic design not only shows some, how to say, if you just put some, let's say, some image of some movie star, that may be enough to capture the attention, but that will not create interest. The best graphic design is if the graphics visually support or express the same as the slogan does, or where it complements each other. So when there is some slogan or some statement, some communication of some issue, some topic, some truth, some thought that is somewhere to that particular person of interest. Let's say a person is looking for employment, and then that slogan says, find employment immediately, call this number. So a person who is looking for employment, if he sees this message, that is of interest to him. So because the interest has been captured, he will go to the next step and call that number. So capturing the interest is basically making a statement of showing the person, here is something useful for me. This is of interest to me. If I spend more time with this, probably I'm going to gain something from this. It will do me good. I have some expectation that I can benefit from this. It's not yet clear how, it's not yet clear how much, but that expectation has been awakened. That's that second stage, generating interest. Then comes the most important part. After that interest has been awakened, the third stage is that by your presentation, or in a case of an advertisement, sometimes, for example, they have advertisements, larger advertisements in a magazine. They have maybe a picture of a movie star to attract the attention, then maybe a headline to create the interest, and then they have some paragraphs of explanation in which, in those explanations, the reader or the candidate is brought to the point that he wants to have that product. It creates the desire to have whatever you are offering him. So, of course, that part is the most important part, because unless in the end the person actually has the desire to have the product, all the other previous steps are useless. So there, it's not that the other aspects have to be neglected, but the most important, how to say, thought has to be given how to present a particular service, product, item, hook, single hook, or Bhagavatam set, in such a way that after the person has either read or heard or seen the presentation, he will say, that's what I want. This is exactly the right thing for me. I have waited for this the whole time. Now I'm so glad that finally somebody is offering this. This is the third part. So a very important part of your, let's say, preparation for this program will be to work out this segment. How in an ordinary person to generate the desire, this is valuable for me, I want this, and I'm willing to spend some money for this, because it is so valuable, it is so desirable, that even if it is a little hard, or maybe it's a little taxing, but rather than spending the money on something else, I will spend the money on that. And the fourth stage is, which is sometimes overlooked in sales. Even good salesmen sometimes overlook this. Because in many, many cases, practically in most cases, when a person makes such a decision or comes to such a conclusion, there's always these two voices in us, right? So just like in Krishna consciousness, Krishna and Maya, you know, competing for supremacy. There's this voice. Do you really need this? What will your wife say that you spent so much money on this when she wanted to have a new fridge the whole time and you haven't bought it? Right? Or will it be really worth it? Do I have the time to, even if I find it all good, will I have the time to read all this? So, in other words, there comes a stage after the person has already, in one sense, made the decision, he has been attracted, I want this, but then out of sudden, all these doubts and questions and obstacles are coming up, where he is actually becoming unsure whether he should go for this or not. And the best defense is
offense.
So rather than letting the person make these calculations in his mind and spin them around and then come to a ultimately, because he's already getting into a negative mindset, come to a negative conclusion, a good salesman, he will express those very negative points. And before he can start thinking about it and negatively, so to say, contemplate on it, the salesperson, he will express those different possible objections why he should purchase this item and practically defeat them before he can even express them. You understand? So once that stage has been done, he has developed the desire to have it, and his objections have been free. Like the Americans are now, they have the new strategy of preemptive strike. Before Saddam Hussein can strike us, we will destroy him. Before Iran can build the atom bomb, we will smash it. Preemptive. That's the same strategy. Before the negative thought pattern can manifest, the objections, the doubts, etc., which will ultimately, so to say, crumble that blossoming desire to have that, you can actually preemptively state it and diffuse it. Like sometimes when there is a bomb, they will send some expert, and even though the bomb could explode, but he diffuses this bomb. So then, after that is done, the final thing is what they call the close, the sale. That's practically speaking automatic. Once those four steps have been followed successfully, the fifth part, closing the sale, is automatic. It's like the natural consequence, the natural conclusion. And I tell you, when we had this, these are very simple principles. When we applied them to even our single book distribution, Street Kind of Sankirtan, our next book distribution skyrocketed. It went like from this to like this. So much so that it was such a phenomena that book distribution, you know, because we handed in the book distribution debates to the BBT every month, out of sudden in Los Angeles at that time, they were getting in the German figures from the book distribution. What's happening over there? They were astounded from barely anything. Like I said, we have such a dynamic acceleration. If you imagine just like 2 years back, we have been practically living like slum people. Not that we were living in the street, but we were living in utter poverty. And within, by 1974, when Prabhupada came, we had 26 big Sankirtan vehicles. Those were, each vehicle you could figure between 12, 13, 15,000 marks. And from having a handful of devotees, we had 150 devotees and who were going out and distributing books by the thousands and tens of thousands. And it was so phenomenal that the other devotees in other parts of the world heard about it and they couldn't believe what they heard. So they invited Hansa Dutta to come to New York and actually demonstrate what we were doing different. And as a matter of fact, he took all, they had a GBC meeting, he took all the GBC on book distribution in New York City. And he taught them this method. So it's, you see, this is a very typical example of what we called the other day a paradigm shift. Simply by adjusting like a little, the amount of words which were spoken did not much exceed what we said before. But there was a strategy, a technique, or a system behind it, and the results were like phenomenal. So as this was applicable for single book distribution, it is so much more applicable if you want to sell Srila Prabhupada's sets. Because the, when we did this, just to give you the information, our presentation consisted out of three major parts, which basically follow these stages. And the whole presentation lasted for about 1 hour to 1 hour and 10 minutes. And in order to make this successful, that presentation has to be completely worked out, word by word, and it has to be memorized by heart. Like an actor is learning his part on stage, the devotees actually learned it to, you know, it's a very, it requires some willpower and some determination to do that. But it is possible. It is possible to learn a 1 hour presentation by heart. You have to take segments just like an actor. He doesn't read the whole book, you know, 3 or 4 times and then, or 10 times, and then memory, you have to take section by section and memorize it. Then take the next section. Once you have memorized that section, you go to the other section, you memorize it, then you combine them like that. And once you do this, of course, in the beginning, the first times when you then make your presentation, it's still like an unsure thing. It's, you know, naturally, just like an actor has to deal with stage fright or whatever they call it. So when you go out the first time and you have your materials and you make your presentation, you wonder, do I remember, will I remember all the words? Will I be able to pull this off? And it may not be going right the first time. I give you an example of, which is very astounding actually, of the people I employed in Singapore. I get, I think I told you, I had 21 employees whom we also, some originally came with this one salesman that we recruited on that book fair. And then we put advertisements in the paper and recruited more people. No experience needed, we would provide training and facility for earnings like that. So among them, one old lady applied. She was about 55 years old. In Singapore, we have a mixed, you know, mixed population of Chinese, mainly Chinese, then Indians and Malay. And the living conditions are such that people are living, and because it's so crowded, they're living in high-rise apartment buildings, you know, sometimes 50, 60, 70 stories, two families in one small apartment. So this lady, her husband had died, and so she could not be by herself. So her son took her up in her apartment. But the wife of the son, Indian family, made her feel completely unwelcome. And they made her feel completely awkward and unwanted. So after many weeks of crying and suffering, this lady decided, I'm not going to go for this. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life simply living in misery, living in a place where I'm not wanted. So I'm going to take my life in my own hands again. And she read this advertisement in the newspaper, and she came to a job interview. So I interviewed her and explained her, and she was, I thought, this is impossible. This lady will not be able to do this. But I felt so sorry for her. She told me her story. So I didn't want to discourage her the very first day. So she actually took the training which we provided last, because like I said, they have to learn the script, etc. It lasts for about five, six days. Then they have to go out with some, you know, the first stages are that they actually go out with somebody who's already experienced, maybe for a week or so, so that they can see the program in practice, in action. And then they start on their own. So she was determined. She took many of the people after, let's say, from if you would put an advertisement, we would get maybe 30-40 applicants. And from the 30-40 applicants, some of them would immediately drop out after they understood what it was all about. Some of them dropped out during the course of the training because they figured, oh, I can do this. And then in the end, usually we had two or three that were left. So anyway, this lady was determined. She went through the whole training. She went through the stage of going out with somebody, observing, and then she had to go out on her own. And in Singapore, basically, there's, you know, she had no transportation. She had no car or anything, but there's public transport. And one good thing of these high-rise apartment buildings is that if you go into one building, you have about 2,000 families that you can go from door to door, so to say, at the shortest distance. So sometimes we even drove people to a particular area. Some of, you know, we had a car where we drove people off. And this lady, she started giving the presentation day after day without making a single sale. 1 week went by, she went out every night. And they started at 6, around 5 to 6, because that's when people are home, until 10 o'clock, those 4-hour period of time. First week went by, no sales. Second week went by, no sales. Third week went by, no sales. And we had, you have to understand, we had a system of, they didn't get any salary, they only got a commission. They only would earn money if they would make a sale. We had no fixed salary. But this lady was so determined, she went out week after week after week. Until the 29th day, she made her first sale. And she came back in tears. She was so happy, so excited that she had accomplished this. Then, after that, they call it the ISIS broker. They call this amongst the direct salespeople. They call this phenomena, the ice, breaking the ice. When a person has some or another, there's whatever has prevented him to be successful before, all of a sudden, it clicks. And the ice is broken, and he has figured out how it works. Whatever attitude or fear or whatever it is, something has changed and it worked. And believe it or not, this old lady, this 55, she became our top salesman. She sold more than anyone else. So, and what we did, I told you, some of those people actually became devotees. You know what we did? We had a reward program. Those who had been this best salesman for a month or for a certain period of time, we would provide them a retreat in Vrindavan or in Mayapur.
Oh my God.
We would pay all the expenses and send them to Vrindavan. And they were actually earning a good, I mean, by that time, they were earning phenomenal salaries in comparison to normal working people. So it was very successful. But, like I said, it depends on just their preparation. And maybe we can talk about this now, what we have to prepare. In America, it would still be an issue. Maybe to some degree it's an issue here too. Let's say that from a marketing point of view, if you talk about a product, there are two ways of for a business company to succeed in marketing enterprise. Either you have a product that is already existing and you're looking for that particular product, the corresponding target group for which this product is meaningful or matching. Or you have a particular target group that you know these are these people, and you analyze and you create a product for them. It's basically these two concepts are only there. Either you have a product, you find the target group, or you have a target group and you create a product. So in our case, we have a product. So in America or in other places, we might think, oh, what is our target group? Like, for example, in America, how we went about it to sell the Bhagavatam sets. We got mailing lists of spiritual magazines, like esoteric magazines, for example. So in other words, subscribers to a particular type of magazine, if he's subscribing to that magazine, which has spiritual topics, esoteric topics, you can already conclude to some extent that he will have a mental disposition that will make him interested in a topic or a book like Srimad Bhagavatam. More, let's say, in comparison, if you have somebody who is subscribing to a hunting magazine or a fishing magazine, maybe he's not exactly the right target group for Srimad Bhagavatam. So like this, we would make some free choices in order to, let's say, focus in on a more receptive audience. So that eliminates a lot of waste of energy if you can find the audience that is most suited for your product. That is actually for every topic that's applicable for advertisement, product placement, etc. And it is also true for Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you can actually find people from whom you know they have some spiritual inclination, but they don't have the Bhagavatam yet, and you can offer that to them, they will probably be very appreciative, and when you make your presentation, will very much want to take this course. So here in India, it might be a different story altogether, because let's say the general population being in that culture where Srimad Bhagavatam is coming from. In Western countries, you have to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam is a very strange thing. The writing alone, the Sanskrit, etc., the pictures, it's like all from a different culture. But here, this is all part of your culture. So you might not have the same necessity to limit yourself so strictly to a particular target group, but still, you might think which people would be most suitable to start this with, because you want to conserve as much energy as possible and have with the minimum amount of energy the highest success. That's one of the principles of strategy, as in war, so in business. So for example, one thing which also works very well, which is also one of the principles which every sale would be finished. Once we would make a sale, we would get at least 5 referrals from the people to whom we would make that sale. In other words, it would be automatically we would have a form, and it would be part of the presentation that the people would understand as part of the program that they're doing. They will give 5 referrals of other people whom they know and whom they will judge would be possibly interested in this program. Then once you have those referrals, you can call up the person and say, I'm Mr. So-and-so, I got your ad, I got your number by Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. Such-and-such. She thought that I should give you a ring and probably that you would be interested in what I have to offer or what I have to say. So most of the times, if you have a referral, if you can call on behalf of somebody or mention somebody they know, whom they trust, they're very much, let's say, open, much more open to receive you, to hear from you, give you an entrance, than if they may not know you at all. So it's also possible to start a program like this on that basis, because you have a very large congregation here. So every member in the congregation, I'm sure, knows at least 5 or 10 people who may not come here, but who may be in a disposition, let's say, that they're not completely atheistic or materialistic or whatever, and where they could figure, well, this person actually might be a good, he might be interested, he might appreciate that. So if you can get from your congregation of members these referrals and then just go by that, that will keep you busy already for a long time. That will be a start. You know, I don't think you will have any problems to practically continue from that, because then the people whom you visit then and you make successful their presentation, again you will give it. It's like almost like a snowball system. So in that sense, that's your first step. What was the first principle? Attracting attention. That falls under this category. If you can call somebody up and say, I just got your number from Mrs. Oberoi, she thought it would be a good idea that I give you a ring, the person will feel immediately that some familiarity, some closeness, some trust, and you will have his attention. And then of course you have to make a statement what you want to see him on. I mean, you can't just simply say, I just want to drop by, I just want to see you. That will be too vague. There has to be some kind of brief, short, summarized statement on what is your intention. I tell you what we did in the American company. It's very interesting. I told you, sometimes you may have to excuse me because I'm speaking to different people, and sometimes I may have said something to someone and I do not know what I said to the general public or to an individual person. In any case, the way we went about in this encyclopedia series, they also had a particular target strategy. They went for young married couples, people who just got married, or people who just received a child, families who just hadn't gotten children. Because their whole approach, the program they offered, this encyclopedia, it was not offered as an encyclopedia. They didn't go there to sell an encyclopedia. I'm coming to sell you an encyclopedia. They did not even present an encyclopedia. The encyclopedia was part of a program, and they called it a 10-year home improvement program. So one is a product, the other one is a concept. So in other words, when you made the presentation, because people are in one sense are always suspicious if somebody comes and tries to sell you something. You know, everybody, because they know if you try to sell you something, simply you want my money. So if you go somewhere and trying to sell a product, or say, I have this product, then to some degree, maybe if he's very interested, he will go for it. But to some degree, also some alarm bells will go up while he's trying to get my money. So instead of making that point, it was not said, I'm going to come to sell you an encyclopedia. No. We have a 10-year home improvement program. That's not a product. That's a whole concept. So what basically the approach was, why did they pick families with young children, or families with, especially families with young children, you could go in America. You could go to the birth register at the registration office and just go see who has given birth this month. Then you would pick out the telephone number in the telephone book, call them up, and say congratulations or whatever. Well, actually, no, we wouldn't even say that. We would say that we are a company or an institute that has developed a very effective home improvement program. And we would like to review this program with a certain number, or how to say, of chosen families, so that we can get some feedback before we can release it to the general public, maybe to improve on it, etc. And for that we need a certain, how to say, sample family that fits into a particular criteria to get like a, how to say, a broad mix of society, so that we can get, how to say, a statistic that will be valuable. So you have been chosen as one of those sample families. And is that, and of course you won't have to do this for free. You will be actually compensated with the actual program itself. So is this something interesting to you? If yes, I would like to make an appointment and maybe see you sometime this week. What time is best? So that was like the approach. And most people were flattered. Oh, I've been chosen. I'm a sample family. And they have, I mean, the program sounds interesting, a home improvement program, especially young family with children. They think, how can I improve my home? What they're thinking about the future of their children, and what, how they will grow up, and how the environment will be best for them, etc. So it's, from the topic, it's interesting for them. And also to the point that, let's say, it's not at this first call, phone call or anything, there's nothing talked about any sales or any anything like the opposite. You actually will be compensated. So then, most people would actually, very few people would refuse to let's say, accommodate them. Then we would make an appointment. We had a home because some people, in a, they, according to their lifestyle, they had very little time, or they were working to very odd hours. We had a, we had appointments as late as 1, 2, and 3 o'clock at night. And then we would go to the house. And when we would go to that house, because remember, we introduced ourselves. I mean, for this doesn't have to be that way. We also did it differently in Singapore. In Singapore, we didn't even make any phone calls. It didn't make, we, because the, how to say, the geography was such, like I said, 2,000, 3,000 families in one building. You know, they could just knock at the door and just make that short presentation at the door. And either they would go for it at that time, or if not, you go to the next door. So there it was not even necessary to make the type of phone call thing. And also if you have, let's say, leads, what they call leads or referrals from people like congregational members, that also that approach may be entirely different. But basically you have to, it's good to present not simply a product. I want to talk to you about the Bhagavad Gita set. But to give it some name, instead of home improvement program, we have developed a very successful life improvement program, for which we have some very interesting materials and things, etc., that we could and this present to you. For example, this is one example. Another important thing is that this program should consist, I mean, whatever you offer them when during your presentation should not only be the Bhagavad Gita set, but it should consist also of other items, in ideally in excess of seven or more, eight or nine. Why is that? Does anybody have studied psychology among you? Yeah. So what is so special about 7 or 8? What does 8 stand for? What's the special, the symbol 8, the significant infinity? The 8, if you actually, the symbol for infinity, if you, is the 8 horizontally. That's a psychological fact that the human mind cannot visualize above 7. Everything above 7 becomes infinite visually. The visual capacity of, you know, we, for example, we can visualize 3 apples or 4 pears, we can visualize. But to visualize, I mean, some people, there may be exceptions, but in general, the visual capacity or the mental capacity to estimate any number higher than 7, beginning from 8, it becomes practically infinite. In other words, it becomes blurry. The value or the concept attached to it becomes blurry. So that's why these companies, these encyclopedia companies, they have hired the most trained psychiatrists and psychologists to see how they can use it, psychiatry, in order to increase their sales. So they had made a program which we basically adopted to have a presentation in which you present more than 8 items. Like, for example, in Singapore, we had first of the main section, of course, was the Bhagavatam set, but that was not introduced right away. There was Bhagavad Gita, there was Krishna book. Like for Krishna book, we would say, well, for example, there's especially for the children, that's something you can, you know, if you have children, this is something you can read to your children, like at night when they fall asleep. They can read from them, or you can read from them. Then there was something to hear. Some at that time they ran all the audio CDs. We had some cassettes. Then there was something to see, some posters, like that. And then there was the Bhagavatam set. And in the end, the most important thing was, which also makes this program very interesting, there was coupons. Coupons. You know, coupon. What are coupons? Coupons. In other words, we said this is a program, a life improvement program. So we will not only give you the materials, but we will give you for the period of 10 years the ability, if you have a particular question to any of the subject matter you will study in here, to give us a note. You send in this coupon, and we have, then there was this line. That we didn't use in Singapore, but in America, these encyclopedia salespeople, they use this line. I want to stretch your imagination now a little bit, if you would. We have a center of experts where we have people from all different fields of science, and who are working for us. And practically, virtually speaking, you know, if you want to visualize that, it's as if you would have a conference table the size of a football field. And up and down on both sides are sitting experts of all different fields of knowledge. And any particular question that you send in is given to that particular expert in that particular field to write out an answer, write out a report, and that report is sent to you for your, information. Now, some reports, let's say some people ask a question, you know, how do I best peel potato? Just to give a stupid example, right? So that will not be a very extensive report. Maybe it will consist out of 1 or 2 pages or whatever. But sometimes some people may ask very sophisticated question, and then we actually had some reports that we showed, sample reports. it will be like a 50-60 page report coming back to reply on that question, on that particular topic. Now, why is this so important to have, the significance of this whole issue with this report program? In our case, for the devotees, it made an additional, how to say, it opened up an additional avenue, which was that not only are you selling a Bhagavatam set, but you are already introducing a follow-up program. In other words, the people are being encouraged to communicate with you. Actually, they have to. That's part of the deal. In the end, we'll come to that, how the financial transaction is taking place. But they commit themselves to write you after 1 month, after 3 months, after 6 months, and after 1 year. They have to give, because remember, they are sample families who have to review the program in their home. And for that, they have to write a report. What has changed in their family, for the better or the worse, since they have taken up this program? And by doing so, you're actually establishing, a rapport, how to call it? A relationship. And the same is true with his cue forms. Not everybody will, use them, but some people actually will make use of it. They will start reading in the Bhagavatam and will have some question, and they will send in their cue forms. Here's my cue form, please can you answer this question? And here's your preaching group. And actually you can start preaching, and from that preaching maybe you can start visiting. And little by little, as you develop this, exchange of relationship, of some discussion and some topics, you're actually starting getting into a preaching mode. And before you know, you can make that person a devotee. It develops further than simply, giving somebody seven books. It actually, the program in itself includes a follow-up program that will, not maybe necessarily everyone, but a large amount of people will actually be drawn into the congregation. The other reason why this presentation is like this is because in the end, we had our seven different items or eight different items, and for each item you have some particular presentation material. You have for example, some articles out of some newspaper or whatever. What we had were called broadsides. And when we would walk into somebody's home, at first, when we would make the appointment, we would go to the place without having our materials with us, just like this. We keep them in the car. So because, if you have made the appointment with the program, that somebody, and you're coming like just a suitcase full of stuff or whatever, then immediately, again, there's some fear or some hesitation, or the conclusion, or they're trying to impress something on me or sell me something or whatever. But if you're coming with nothing, then it's simply a talk. So basically, that talk would last about five to 10 minutes, like a kind of, you would start a small talk kind of thing, and then you would start a little bit talking about the program. And at one point you would say, if this is of interest to you, like for example, it would be stressed that the need for education is determining, education is determining the future of the children, which is a fact, that you would have some newspaper articles or whatever. And then you would ask the people who actually express the interest, then you would say, okay, if you want to, or if you don't mind, or if you want to, I can go out and get my materials from the car and I can show it to you. And so they would make the decision that you would go and show them the material. It's not that you made the, imposed it on them, but after you had actually established a relationship, you had established some communication, some small talk was already done, then they made the decision, yes, okay, please show me. So I think time is getting late. I have to shorten this a little bit. What I would like to suggest to you is, you don't, maybe you just forget about, in a sense, all these complicated things which I have told you. But maybe just start reading the Bhagavatam or studying the Bhagavatam in such a way that you can, just as I was pointing out from Lord Chaitanya, that he himself very analytically observed the situation, who was against him. So we should analytically see what is in the Bhagavatam that actually would be of interest to people in the ordinary way. There is, for example, one aspect is literature. I mentioned it the other day. The Bhagavatam is full of wonderful plots. You see the bookstores are full with novels, especially American novels, selling by the millions. And why a novel is successful is basically because of the plot. If it has an interesting plot, the writer just has to fill in, so to say, the words, and then people are interested. So the Bhagavatam is full of wonderful plots. So anyone, this could be one topic of interest, to take out, so to say, all the different stories in the Bhagavatam and make a plot description. You know what a plot description is? Like, for example, if a screenwriter wants to hands in to a movie company his script, so that he has written a script, a movie script, so then before they read the whole thing, they don't have time because they get like millions of scripts sent in. So each script has to be, how to say, attached to it or introduced with a short description of what this script is all about. That's a plot description. So that we could do with all the different fantastic stories from the Bhagavatam. Make like a short condensed version as if you would be writing, let's say, the back cover of a novel. Or the same with poetry, wonderful poetry, just a few examples. Then, we mentioned the other day, those who are inquisitive, who are curious, it's a very, I don't know how it is here, are people interested in popular science? Yeah? Are there popular science magazines? So there's so much of that in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, as far as like suffering is concerned, we remember what I said from Bhagavad Gita, that the various sufferings people have. The Prabhu was giving the other day a very interesting lecture. He was saying the normal material way is, I'm suffering, so let me, and the conclusion is, I'm suffering because of my condition, so let me say, change my circumstance and my suffering will be gone. So I'm changing my job because this job is no good, I'm taking another job. This wife is no good, so I'm taking another wife. This climate is not suiting me, so I'm going to some other country. So practically every problem is being dealt with by changing your external condition. But in the Bhagavatam we can see the perfect description that will not solve the problem. It's not that the condition has to be changed, it's the heart that needs to be changed. So there are so many practical aspects. Happiness, how to achieve happiness. You know, this, we have this other aspect. People are looking for wealth. Why do they want wealth? Because they associate wealth with happiness. So we can find, we can analyze the Bhagavatam in these different categories. Fields of knowledge, cosmology, astronomy, biology, sociology, there's very practical sociological, political science. So many different fields are being in there. And if you can categorize that, and actually make that into, how to say, in a way, with some presenting material, either on your laptop, nowadays many devotees have laptops, you can make a PowerPoint presentation and go systematically, Or you find out from the person, maybe that's another way to do it. In your small talk, you find out what his field of interest is. You may not go, you know, if a person is not married, you don't, no need to tell him about how to educate your children. Right? So you find out what is the interest of the person, and then because you have this database, two or three topics, then you can point out how this particular field of interest is perfectly included and described in the Bhagavatam. So this is, how to say, maybe a few suggestions. The first thing is raising the interest. You have to somehow or another make the point that the Bhagavatam is something of valuable from which they will profit. In Western countries, for example, we have also included in that, to make that interesting, is to show how superior Indian culture was in the past, especially to that it was one of the oldest cultures and all the advances it has made. Now, here you might take the opposite approach. You might, instead of showing how wonderful Indian culture was from your perspective, you might bring some articles and some proofs how in Western societies Indian culture is being appreciated by Western scientists, for example. Whereas here people are trying to, as I said, get rid of it and becoming Westernized. There are more and more scientists are appreciating that which is written in the Vedas and including that or taking it as inspiration for their scientific work, etc. So there are so many different approaches. The basic sum of substance is you have to express what is that there is something. If a person wants to buy something or will buy something, he has to have the understanding that this is valuable for me. Otherwise, why am I spending my hard-earned money on something which I don't want? And I want those things which are valuable for me, from which I'm benefiting. That's why all advertisement, if you look, it is based on this. They make some car advertisement with some, particular stylish person with some very attractive woman. Why? Because they suggest if you buy this car, your status in society will be raised, and you will have, due to your higher status in society, you will attract more attractive women. So that's the benefit. Buy this car, you get status, you get beautiful women to associate with you. Like that. So every advertisement is based on this simple principle. What use does this product give to me? And so for this we have to find some introduction, and then go systematically find from the Bhagavatam enough material and presentation with graphic materials. There can be charts, there can be newspaper clippings, news clippings or whatever, to substantiate it, to support it, and make that like a presentation. I think I stop at this point. If you want, I can leave you my email address, or give me your email address, and we can stay in touch, because it's just impossible in one evening to fit. I mean, this could be a weekend seminar. I hope I didn't bewilder you too much with all this information. I hope that there was some, useful stimulation for your endeavor. And like I said, I would be glad if we can stay in touch on it. It will help me, because I certainly want to continue to work in that direction in Germany. And if there's more, you know, the principle of dynamics, you know, it's just that's what we are experiencing here in this temple. It's a spiritual dynamics which comes from numbers, that so and so many people are pulling in the same direction with the same frame of consciousness. So it generates a certain spiritual dynamics. And the same is also true in such a field. The more people are actually putting their mind on a particular subject matter, even if they are thousands of miles apart, it will generate a certain dynamic and get it into motion. And that will help me, and perhaps it will also inspire some of you in your field maybe to try this and maybe to develop it in a completely different way than what I have related to you now, but maybe the talk was, let's say, sufficient enough to spark off vision that this could be done. It can be done, it has been done, and if it is done, if you could distribute 1,000 sets or more of Bhagavatams in Mumbai, Prabhupada would be so pleased. So thank you very much. If you have any question, if there's anything I can serve you with, please let me know.
Ramji Rani, when the question goes for this book distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam, that lady, she was going in, she was the same person.
Mm-hmm.
When she went like this door to door kind of a thing in Germany and in Singapore, would she go with a set or how would you work on it?
No.
So what is the...
No, they had one sample book.
One sample book, right.
And the rest was the presentation materials.
Right.
So that you would have your one sample book with you.
Can we have the samples of the presentation materials?
I don't have any of that. This was 25 years ago. So whatever I've told you now is like for memory from 25 years ago.
And those seven items that you show in that home improvement thing. So do they have the choice which one they pick?
No, they get the whole thing. The main thing is that in the end, when you have presented all this, right, remember you start off with the smaller items, then you present the set, then you present the coupons or it's all together. Either you can give one for a 10-year period for once a month, then it would be 120 coupons. Yeah, 120 coupons for once a month. And then you give some figure of it, like we said, when we presented those sample reports, one simple one, one complex one. They said, well, the simple one would cost something like around this figure, the bigger one actually be paid around this and this much. But on the average, such a report would cost us $6, let's say, like this, maybe 40 or 50 ringgit or rupees or whatever, 100 rupees. And then you would actually ask them, so how much is 5 times 120 or whatever, right? In other words, you would also involve them constantly in some kind of calculation or interaction. So you would actually ask them how much. You would establish a value for this coupon, for this exchange. Then you would have them multiply it by whatever amount of coupons they have, whether it is one for every week or one for every month for the 10-year period. Then you come up with a certain figure. Once they have set that figure, and then you go to the point and say, so now after knowing this, they have just calculated, they have made a mathematical calculation of how much alone. I mean, this is only a piece of paper. In the end, for a devotee, it is pleasure to write to somebody. It's not work. You know, he may sit there and write some, or take some excerpts or whatever, but this is our preaching work. So then he has established the value, and then he asks, and now considering this, what do you think all of this, what I have just showed you? Remember, more than 8 is infinity. How much of this is worth altogether? And so they establish the price, the value to what you just have presented to them. And we had estimates. I mean, in the end, for example, that encyclopedia, it costed around $650 US dollars. In Singapore, we were selling the set, Bhagavatam set with the other items for $1,000 Singapore dollars.
The black one?
The black one. 1,000 Singapore dollars. It's just in Singapore, a lot of money. And we also make payment plans. Also, that's also another possibility that you actually work with some company because it's a legal contract. It's like very professional. You can actually go to a money contractor. You can write over the contract. If you want to do this or not, that's another story. But it's possible to make payment plan, 2-year payment plan or 1-year payment plan like this. But they would establish the value. And so what in the end cost $640 or $650. the estimates which we had, the lowest would be around $3,000, the highest would be around as high as $10,000. They would say that, not you. They would say this must be worth $3,000, $5,000. So it takes you completely out of the line of fire, to say. If you would say, well, no, you have to pay. No, they're evaluating it. And then, of course, we don't have to necessarily do all these ways. I think it will be probably much more simple to do it here in India than in America. You have to go through all the complicated ways because people are so burned through this. I think if you just have a nice presentation of the Bhagavatam, of the benefits of it, of how wonderful it is, what it contains, what is in there, people don't know. Most people don't know how wonderful this literature is. If you can just break this down so that people can appreciate it and see how it relates to their life, it will be very easy for you in this culture to present that. And especially if you have the said union, you're not doing this to make like a big profit or anything, to like these companies are doing. They're making millions of dollars of profit. That's their idea. If you're selling the Bhagavatam, says, what you said, 5,000 rupees here, that's...
Black one is 3,000.
Huh?
Black one is 3,000.
3,000 rupees. That's... You should be able to sell thousands of sets. You just have to take some time, take a month or so to go and prepare, write on the script, and you may and try it out. You may have to revise it. You may have to talk amongst each other and maybe encourage each other and get some different viewpoints and experiences. But just get in the idea. Instead of, you just remember, in the end, the amount it takes to distribute 30 big books on the street, and then in the end, if you have actually perfected this, the amount of energy it takes to sell 30 books in a Bhagavatam set, it's so much more efficient. And the people will have the entire set, which is actually what it is meant to be. It's not, I mean, why did Vyasadeva write 30 volumes of Bhagavatam if people are only getting the first volume, first canto? That was not the idea. That's why Prabhupada didn't write and translate it and give purpose to 30 volumes just so that people would end up with one volume from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's not bad, of course. But the idea is that they should get the whole set. It's supposed to be read from cover to cover, from beginning to end, first canto to tenth canto. That's the idea. Because then in that progression, people will actually make spiritual advancement and will come to the point, tenth canto means Krishna Leela. They will come to the realm of pure devotion in Krishna Bhakti. Automatically, it's a natural conclusion. There's a systematic way, a conclusive way in the Bhagavatam to that point. But if you never come to that, if you leave out, you have the Krishna book, which is the tenth canto, but you're leaving out eight cantos in the middle, it's a big, big chain is missing. So anyway, thank you very much for your attention. And if you want, I give you I pass out around this book. And those of you who would like to stay in touch and receive from me, let's say, whatever humble progression I make in my attempt, and I can share that with you, please leave your email address. And I have one card here where I think I wrote down my address. Maybe I can pass it around, and you can copy it. Or you write it on the board, yes. So Chakrabarti Das Kaufman p@tonline.de. @t-hyphen. So again, I hope, was it of any use for you, or?
Thank you. I'd like to express my gratitude to Chakrabarti Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
And once it starts, and the beautiful thing about this is, because when it is worked out, even somebody who is not, let's say, an experienced preacher, you know, for it to be, an experienced preacher, you have to have, a certain amount of realization. You have to be a good communicator, right? And this, once this is worked out, because it is a systematic system and it's something in writing which can be learned, even somebody who is not so realized and not, let's say, such a good communicator, he will be able to achieve the same result. Like I was giving the example of that lady, from a material point of view.
You have MANNB at P dash.
Yes, at. So once the system is worked out and established, it can be duplicated and taught to others who may not be, like I said, so experienced. You know, you, even those who are very successful, even your preaching manpower is limited. You have a certain amount of brahmacharis and powerful, who can convince devotees who can go out and preach. But this is a program that can be actually expanded even to others. I mean, you always have to be careful not to bring in people who would give you a bad name or who would misrepresent ISKCON or whatever. But I'm sure there is, like for example, amongst those students that you have, there's a lot of them already who may not be in a position to go out and make themselves another college program or like that, but who could be trained to make Bhagavatam steps, who are favorable to Krishna consciousness, who are part of the congregation, and who can take it, this was what he was telling me, he lives for book distribution. He doesn't want to do anything else. He's happy doing that, and that's his life. And there will always be people like that who will have an inclination for one thing or another. Some people are very much inclined and by nature capable of going and speaking in front of big crowds and moving people in that way. And then there will be people like him who will take great pleasure. He make him completely happy if he comes home in the evening and has sold 2, 3, 4 Bhagavatam sets. So it's not something taking away from one program. I think it might be a nice addition to what you're already doing, complementary.
So you
only
develop all the script and all
this. Yes, but of course my script will be for the German audience.
Can you
have some ideas? I will share my ideas. And also, if you want to, on that other topic, because that's actually related, the topic which I was discussing about yesterday morning about modern science and scientists, and actually the wonder of creation and all this part, these two topics can very easily be connected. If you can actually in show people how. Because nowadays, even in India, it's a fact that people are getting bewildered by this propaganda evolution. Even people who are born and raised in Indian with Vedic background, they start to believe this evolution bullshit. Maybe because they're becoming confused about they are scientists, Western scientists, they must be right. So nobody's challenging this. But in this way, this is why I gave class on these two topics. Not because Krishna somehow or another made the arrangement that kind of fit in the context of those Bhagavatam verses, but basically essentially I spoke on those two topics because those two topics are close to my heart. That's what interests me. And where I would like to expand on further.
When did you
made this program in Singapore, in which year? 1982, 1983, something like that. Between 2, 3-year period.
Only in English?
Only in English. I printed the Bhagavatam 30-volume set there, and so So since we have the books, we were selling them, like I said, Adidaran, to Australia, to England, America, some, mostly Indian, people there.
This 30-volume is not complete, 30 contest, so.
No.
It's already complete.
As far as Prabhupada had written it until that time. And we took, for the 10th canto, we took the Krishna book. Because essentially Krishna book is the 10th canto. Which Prabhupada purposely wrote before he wrote the Bhagavatam, because Prabhupada, this is the essence, this is the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada didn't know how much time he had left to live. So he was afraid if he would start the whole Bhagavatam, as it practically happened, he would not be able to complete the 10th canto. And therefore he actually pre-summarized the 10th canto in the Krishna book, which makes it actually more nectarian because it is very easily readable in the story form. It's actually more relishable this way, I find, than, you know, in the other parts it's different, purport, etc. But this way, the way Prabhupada did the Krishna book in the story form with the philosophy intertwined makes it very readable. And that's why we included at that time the Krishna book as the 10th canto. Okay, Prabhuji, thank you.
I
downloaded all his movies and all his books because he has done so much work, so which we can use. It's instead of taking the Quran, you take out the Quran verses and put in the Srimad Bhagavatam verses.
I have downloaded one. One of my favorite guys, I like watching videos.
And they make it very easily, their concept is really fantastic too. Yeah, but not only that, their promotion over the internet, that all the material is freely available on the internet. They books here as PDFs, as text files, as JPEG files, all the movies.
I just don't know how to log in and where to get it from.
You don't know where to get it from?
I mean, I've been getting the CDs from offline.
Oh, I can show you how to get it. You can download, if you have a fast connection, you can download all the movies for free in good quality. Like this information about the service. I just saw this movie about the miracle of the cell. It's very well done. It's all this animation, it's all this, like the Star Wars type of thing. The spaceship doing the cell.
I could see
that
I'm related the way you related it. It was it's something that you can see but you can't read it out. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
You stop this here, no? No.
Okay, thank you. I hope that I will be able to come again this year. I'm already, tomorrow morning I'm leaving, I'm already doing preparation.
कुछ कंसल
नहीं है।